very honored to have Senator Dozier on the phone with us. Can you hear me okay, sir?
Yes, I can. Good morning, Johnny.
And okay, you know, what district are you representing?
It's the 16th district. That's located in Southeast Washington. It, well, after redistricting, it'll be a little bit different, but it comprised Columbia County, which is a very small county, all of Walla Walla County, and then parts of Franklin and Benton County. And after redistricting, we basically will lose Columbia County, and it just takes in more Benton. So Benton County takes in a lot of, and Franklin, they take in the Tri-Cities, just to give you an idea. That's Pasco, Richland, and Kennewick. Fairly large metropolitan area there for us.
Now, some might ask, how come you have this guy on? He's not in our district in the 19th or 24th. Well, you represent a district there in Eastern Washington, and you have something to do, or, well, you have an opinion on this whole Snake River Dam, and it, by removing the four Snake River Dams, the effects it would have on all of us here in the state.
Oh, yeah, Johnny, without a doubt. So just for a little history for your listeners, I grew up here in Walla Walla County. And when these dams were being constructed, they started constructing the first dam in 1955, and it was completed in 1962, Ice Harbor Dam, which is only about 30 miles away from where I grew up. And the last dam, so there were four dams that were put on the Lower Snake River. The last one, Lower Granite, which is the one furthest up river, close to Clarkston, Washington, which is on the Idaho border. It was completed in 1975. And it's pretty interesting. Basically, what the dams did was it made a shipping channel, a highway to move products both upstream and downstream from clear out to the ocean ports, and it's pretty impressive. But the one thing that's also this has done is off of the lower dam, which is the Ice Harbor that was first constructed, we've been able to transform western Walla Walla County and southeast Franklin County into some very, very productive farm ground growing. I can't even tell you all the things they're growing. It's unbelievable, from potatoes to corn to blueberries to everything you can imagine. We have probably the largest apple orchard in the United States, if not the world there. And prior to that, that was the most arid ground that you couldn't raise winter wheat on. It probably 7-inch rainfall total in a year, and you couldn't even graze sheep on it.
Now, is that the same apple orchard that our governor almost that jeopardized and almost wiped out by sending maggot-infested apples across the state?
Well, we're slightly south of where he went to visit, and I don't think he passed through, but it would have had devastating effects on that orchard, and also huge effects on the economy in Walla Walla County if we had issues there, because they're one of our larger taxpayers and employers.
So some are calling for the dams to be breached to improve salmon runs. You know, the salmon runs where we like just extended salmon season in some areas and shut them off in other areas. But what's your take on it?
Well, I'll tell you, this has been a fight that's been going on, Johnny, for well over 20 years. Back in the late 90s, I think it was about 98, I was elected. I farm over here in Eastern Washington in Walla Walla County. And I served as an officer with the Washington Association of Wheat Growers, serving as state president in 2001. And we represented 13 Eastern Washington counties that grow wheat in them. And back then, they were talking about tearing the dams out. And so this has kind of been going on. But the interesting thing is, even though they were talking about tearing the dams out, when I was back in Washington, D.C. in 2001 on a lobbying trip back there, Senator Patty Murray, yes, our senator here from Washington State, requested that I testify before a committee that she sat on, which was transportation, a subcommittee for transportation and safety. And what she wanted me to talk about was the tremendous benefit that we have here in Washington State of three modes of transportation, that being road, river, and rail. And we use that river transportation to alleviate traffic and on our highway systems. and it is the most efficient forms to move products both downriver and upriver. And some other states, we were specifically looking at the northern tier states in the U.S. here, were basically held captive to shippers because they didn't have the option. So here we are 21 years later, and we have Senator Murray lock arm with Governor Inslee trying to get rid of one of the benefits that we spoke about 20 years ago. And not only is it transportation, it's also electricity, irrigation, recreation. Unbelievable.
And then our electrical consumption, will that be affected, or you know what it provides for us to consume? Will that have any effect?
I don't know how you can replace what these dams put out. Anytime you need to ramp up some electrical power, you can get it from the dams because they are in operation 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. And you are not going to replace that with wind and solar at all. I know we have more sunshine over here. Matter of fact, I heard you talk about a little overcast there. Well, we're blue skies and actually wind today. So I guess if you wanted to get some solar and some wind power, you could do it. But we get to winter and we lock in fog here pretty bad sometimes too. So I don't know how they're going to replace the electrical needs, especially when the governor wants to get rid of basically go to electrifying everything. I mean, how are you going to power up
right.
the state?
Our guest this hour, Senator Dozier, and he's over in Eastern Washington. You know, not a lot of us can go over and inspect the dam and inspect fish runs. And some say it's more of the invisible catastrophe kind of stuff. But what kind of advancements have we made on our dams?
You know, Johnny, when they were first put in, I believe they were probably put in with fish ladders, which is a series of, if you think about a set of stairs, and so that's how the fish would navigate around the dams. The water would be flowing down through it, so they just climb up through that series of stairs to get up above the dam. Nowadays, they've made so many more advancements. One of the other problems were in the turbines in the beginning. The fish would get into the turbines, and obviously we would have a mortality rate that was pretty bad there. Since then, they've come up. Technology, as we all know, has just exploded, especially over the last couple of decades. And if you think that these dams are 60 years old and the advancement that they've been able to do in them has made a significant difference in fish passage. So one of the things I wanted to touch on, too, is we are obviously, I don't know if the people know that there are actually five specific salmon species, which I didn't realize that either. There's the Chinook, the Coho, the Sockeye, which are common throughout all of Washington State. And then you have two other species, which are the Pink Humpies and the Chum, which are only over in western Washington. But the Chinook and the sockeye, I believe, are the only, no, the Chinook and the Coho are the only two listed as endangered on the Snake River, but not on the Columbia. And right now there are record returns of sockeye on the Columbia. I mean, looking at some pictures that I've seen with commercial fishermen, not commercial, but commercial guides out there, and they're just unbelievable. So one of the things that they have done also for these smolts to be able to return to the ocean is barging the smolts down. So they'll start up above the highest dam on the Snake River, which is the Lower Granite, and they'll collect the smolts that are there, and then they barge to the next and the next and the next, and they put all these smolts in the in this barge, but they're circulating the water because the important thing about these salmon is they have to find their way back to where their habitat is. So they continue to circulate the water, and then they're dumped off below Bonneville Dam on the Columbia River, and then they have a straight shot to the ocean. Survival rate on the smolts is 95% to 98%. As soon as they get in, it is fantastic. But when they get past Bonneville, we have problems with predation. We've got everything from the seals to terns to pelicans. So we're taking them down there to do what they need to do to go to the ocean and return back. But the problem is beyond Bonneville, and people don't acknowledge that very much. I want to just touch briefly. Like I say, we have fish passage on all four dams on the Snake. Now, let's go up to the Skagit River. And the Skagit is the largest river. It comes out of Canada. I think it's about 160 miles long, and I believe it's the largest tributary that flows into the Puget Sound. It has all five species of salmon on it. There are three dams on it that are operated by Seattle Light. Those three dams have zero fish passage. Those three dams supply 20% of the electricity to Seattle. Zero fish passage, supply electricity, and we aren't talking about removing those dams so those fish can get up to their spawning ground and come back and be in Puget Sound. Not even addressing that, Johnny.
Well, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of common sense in Olympia anyway. I mean, you would figure you would use hydro in the areas that would best benefit from hydro. You would use wind in the areas that would best benefit from the wind. You would use solar in the areas that would best benefit. You know, Pacific Northwest might not be the best place for solar, but some might argue that. It's just amazing. But then again, we're at, 600 plus days to flatten the curve, you know?
That's been the really frustrating part these past two sessions is once the governor declared an emergency, he is the sole leader of the state, and 600 days of single person control. I don't understand our majority Democrat party why they don't want to go into a special session and do something about some of the issues we have, whether it be emergency powers or even tax relief for us.
Yeah, well, I've noticed that some across the aisle have said that we have the money and don't mind spending more money in this situation that we're in.
I have heard that, too. It was interesting in 2020 when the emergency started. We were going into 2021 session. This was prior to me. I was elected in 2020. My first session in Olympia was 21.
Wow.
And yeah, so it was a little disappointing. I mean, I was in Olympia, but there was we couldn't basically see people. We worked out of our office, Zoom and everything. But we were headed into that with a projected $6 billion deficit. And I was going, oh my gosh, this is going to be tough. I was a county commissioner in Walla Walla in the last recession we had, and trying to figure out how can we continue to provide services with declining revenues so badly. The difference in 2021 was as we went through the budgeting year, we get into this year and we got a $15 billion surplus. And now every quarterly report gives us a surplus of more and more and more. So if we are having these type of surpluses, why, and especially with record inflation, Washington State's inflation rate is higher than the nation. I think we're at 10.1 in a few of the counties on the west side. And why aren't we looking at ways to alleviate the tax burden on the people of this state, whether it be not collecting the gas tax at 49.5%, or looking at tax relief as a bill that was introduced by the Republican senators, to exempt the first $250,000 of property tax.
Well, Senator, the majority across the aisle has said our tax break is postponing any tax increases. That's our tax break.
Yeah, wait till the first of the year. The Climate Commitment Act, which we call cap and tax, is where they tax carbon dioxide emissions from businesses. It's also, I would call it, the Relocate Washington Businesses Act, because businesses will leave this state, kicks in. And that has potential to raise gas prices another 40 cents or more. And also the low carbon fuel standards will also do that. So eventually, over the next probably 5 years or so, you're going to see things continue to climb with those two bills. Oh, and we also have some other bills kicking in that's still going to hit you too. So long-term care.
Oh, right, because that was postponed.
Don't forget about long-term care. They postponed it. And the rate was 0.58. Now I hear it's going to be 0.61, and I doubt that that's going to stay there if we still have the majority in place.
So, Senator, what do trees consume? What do trees eat?
Carbon dioxide and give off oxygen.
Okay, just wondering. you remember a time when they were building the dams, right?
Without a doubt. I was right in the middle of it.
So we survived before those dams were made, right? So why can't we go back to that utopia from before they were made?
You want to go back to the 1950s?
I don't know. I'm trying to...
This is like a movie, Back to the Future. Oh, my gosh.
Right.
Well,
right.
I'll tell you, there's no way we could go back to that. One of the things, too, John, you got to look at is... So we were talking about revenue coming into the state, weren't we?
Yeah.
Just a second ago. So if you take away what was irrigated and what you cannot irrigate now, we're going to lose a lot of tax revenue.
Well, hold that thought, Senator. We'll continue this discussion. We're talking with Senator Dozier about the Snake River Dams and more, our state. You know, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of common sense going on. You know, you need to go to electric vehicles because of invisible gloom and doom that most can't verify themselves, and others may say it's normal climate change. But hey, EVs, but we're going to take a bunch of your electricity away too. So anyway, if we go back to the 50s by taking these dams out, what will happen?
You know, Johnny, I watch the transformation here. First of all, if we lose the dam, I'm going to start with the transportation aspect of it. One barge that hauls grain going down the dam, going down the Snake River, that goes clear out to our ports in western Washington, one of those barges alone equates to 134 semi-trucks on the road. Just one barge. So I'm just going to give you a quick scenario of two of the lower ports on the Snake, and there's many more. Maybe this probably doesn't even equate to 20% of the amount of barge traffic. But out of those two alone, that would add 22,000 more trucks onto the road per year. And if you think about the amount of traffic on our roads and the fact that we can't keep up with our funding of our highway system or maintenance, how are you going to be able to even come close to that? So there's transportation that issues that we'll have if we go back to the 50s. The other one is, I want to touch on, is irrigation. As I said earlier, that Western Walla Walla County and Southeast Franklin County benefits from the irrigation of that first dam that was put in. 70,000 acres are irrigated there that used to be non-productive. And now it is finally productive. It adds a tremendous amount of jobs, of revenue, not only for the counties and the cities, but also the state. And that will be lost because you will not be able to get the same amount of irrigated acres because the Department of Ecology has not issued a deep basalt well permit in over 30 years. And are they going to go start issuing permits to dig into the basalt level to do it? A lot of these either come out of the river or shallow aquifers. So that's another huge aspect. Let's talk about recreation. How many parks do we have along the rivers where people can go boating and picnics and everything? Well, the river's going to go to a free-flowing river and drop. All of that investment into all those parks and everything, that'll be gone.
Wow. You know, talking about the farmland, maybe that's why Bill Gates is buying up so much farmland.
He's bought a little bit over in this area, without a doubt.
Oh, yeah? People have been raising an eyebrow over that.
Yep. Benton County, I believe he bought some.
So, do you ever, you've been in the legislature for, or the Senate for, since 2020, or 2021 is when you first started, right?
Correct.
That had to have been like a chaotic time. You haven't really experienced like a normal kind of scenario.
No, that's absolutely right. I served as a Walla Walla County Commissioner for two terms, 8 years, from 2009 through 2016. And so I had, you know, a lot of contact with our state legislators going over there and obviously having meetings with them and stuff. And I envisioned when I decided to run for the Senate in 2020, having the same opportunities to have face-to-face meetings with people. And obviously everything was remote. Being in the Senate, though, we were able to be in our office, but we were not able to meet with any people at all. And nobody was allowed on campus. They actually had a fence around the entire campus.
A wall? There. What?
A fence, a chain link fence constructed all the way around all the buildings with state patrol, everything 24/7, making sure you couldn't get in. And it was ridiculous. So I'm still looking forward to the fact that I was elected by the people to be their voice over there, and we cut the people off. And I believe that's one of the major issues that we've had in the last 2 years, why we've had some poor legislation that has been passed because of the majority party, because you don't have to look a person in the eye. You're sitting looking at a computer screen.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Do you find it a challenge when you're like outnumbered? I mean, our state legislatures from the 19th and 24th districts, I mean, they're outnumbered. So, I mean, if they can't get anything done, you know, how can you get anything done?
Well, it is a challenge there. And one of the, I think, the important things, Johnny, with being a legislator is developing relationships with the other legislators. Even the other party is so important. And when you have the ability to walk up and sit down and have a conversation with them, my guess is you can come to common ground or compromise a lot better than trying to do it over the phone or over a Zoom meeting. It's not the same. When we're on the floor, we had limited number of senators on the floor, 7 Republicans and 8 Democrats could be on the floor out of 49 of us. And you just don't have that opportunity when you're talking about a bill to say, hey, you know, this amendment would be, you know, a great one to have on the bill. Could you work it through your caucus? And we just don't have it.
So in your opinion, what could us folks here in Grace Harbor and Pacific County do when it comes to like the Snake River dams? And, you know, maybe we like our power grid the way it is and how it's, you know, how it provides for us, and expecting to convert all gasoline engines to electric vehicles and blah, blah, blah by cutting off that supply. I mean, what can we do?
Well, I think continuing to have dialogue with legislators is huge. Even if you aren't represented by Republicans, and if you're represented by the Democrats, I mean, tell your story out there. The effects of losing the dam, I think, Johnny, would be really close to the effects of when ESA, when the Spotted Owl was listed by ESA. I mean, jobs were lost. Communities dwindled.
It destroyed us, just about.
It did. It took the timber industry away. And it's never come back. And the Spotted Owl is still listed. It hasn't come back. But look what we did to many people's communities, jobs, livelihoods, and it didn't accomplish what they said it would. I don't think that this will accomplish what they think it will. Again, I'll go back to the advancements that have been made with this passage. As we continue to move forward, the new turbines are phenomenal that they're putting in, and power that's generated. We have businesses wanting to locate in central Washington because of the availability of inexpensive power. So because we have that, we can get businesses here who are going to increase the economy in the state. You take that away, and we're going to be, what do I want to say, a economic desert?
Right.
Over here? I can't even, so we're talking EV. This is interesting because it's a five-hour drive, 320 miles for me to go from my home to Olympia. I can't get there with one battery charge. I'm going to have to stop, and it'll be, instead of a five-hour drive, it might be a, what, a seven-hour drive? So
yeah.
I can charge.
Where? Right, right.
Doesn't work.
Well, you know, with our state highly regulated, I believe we're one of the most regulated states when it comes to business. I mean, we're already running businesses out of state, so maybe we want to be on that trend.
Well, again, I don't think we can afford to lose any businesses out of the state. It's I spoke earlier about the bill that was passed, the Climate Commitment Act or cap and tax, and it has the ability to for us to lose businesses within the state. And we have one business in Walla Walla County here that is our largest taxpayer that the county cannot afford to lose that business to move out of state because they are the largest taxpayer. The economic impacts to our schools, to our county government, to the services provided would be devastating. And those are some of the fallouts that I see with some of the legislation that's passed that the legislators from the I-5 corridor, the west side, don't understand. That something like that and losing that one business, how devastating that could be.
We have Senator Dozier from Eastern Washington. We're talking about the Snake River dams and the effects it would have on us, the environment, our economy, on the big picture, right, Senator?
Yeah, I think so. It's a lot bigger than what it looks like. When you read some of these reports out there, if you've lived it and dissect it deeper, it is really, really a monumental task that may have devastating effects.
I have a text that asks, Senator, where is our $35 car tabs we voted on?
Well, things are going to get worse with the transportation package that was just passed, $17 billion transportation package, and you probably see some of the fees that have kicked in for license plates went up 500% from 10 to 50. Where are they? They keep getting moved away.
Why is that? I mean, who does it? Who does that?
You know, I can't answer that question really well, other than I will tell you this, that when my son moved from the east side to King County, what it cost him to license his car went up 500%. It went from 100 a year to 500 a year because of fees and taxes on top of everything.
Right. Highly regulated state. Woo! Oh, and I hear Idaho started a lot of this dam stuff.
Yes, it was. Representative Simpson got the ball rolling pretty good when he suggested that by taking out the Snake River dams, it would help the salmon to get up to the spawning grounds in Idaho. And Rep. Simpson said it would cost about $34 billion to remove and replace the dams. Interesting that they figured that out, that it's $34 billion, when over the course of time between now and when the dams are taken out, it's going to be way more than that. But I want to tell you a little bit about Idaho. So it's interesting that he wants our dams out, but once you get up above Lewiston, Idaho, which is right on the state line between Idaho and Washington, And there are two rivers that converge there. One is the Clearwater River, and the other one is, of course, the Snake River. And the confluence is there at Lewis and Clarkston. Well, if you go up to Clearwater a ways, there is a dam there that has no fish passage. It's the Dwarf Shack Dam. It's got a beautiful reservoir in back of it for recreation, for fishing. It looks like a mini Hoover Dam. No fish passage. And that's not very far away. Now, Representative Simpson, what about when the salmon hit there? Where are they going to go upstream to spawn up in the mountains? Well, they aren't going to. You go up the Snake River, and we have another dam that has no fish passage. Well, same thing. So if we're going upstream to spawn, we only get to go so far. But he wants them to get to Idaho and doesn't care what the effects are going to be on Washington. Similar to, as I spoke earlier, on the Skagit. Three dams, no fish passage, no talk of tearing those dams out.
Oh.
Or even get fish passage.
Wow. Well, I got another email. It says, good morning. You sound like you have a lot of knowledge and a lot of common sense. I agree with you in much of what you've said, including the dam issue and governor control that needs to be curtailed. Why do you want to work for us in this seemingly thankless minority? The voters keep electing the governor, and the issue, the governor hadn't allowed the electrical grid study.
You know, Johnny, that sounds like the same question somebody asked me when I said I was going to run for the Senate a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They said, Perry, really, why do you want to go over there and be in a minority and beat your head against the wall? And, you know, at that point, I had been out of, politics for 4 years. But I still have a passion to represent the people in the area that I grew up in here. And to me, I don't like being in the minority, but also if I'm not out there and telling the true story about the people that I serve and what I see within this state as a whole, because it's just not my district. I'm concerned about the entire state and whether it's your area and how things affect you. I'm concerned about that. So to me, I enjoy my job that I'm doing, serving, though I may get frustrated. But that's a great question because I've been asked that a few times.
Let's see, a text message to the senator. I'm starting to think that people come up with these harebrained ideas knowing that people that think like them will agree, resulting in them being elected for a position based on majority of their like thinkers, nothing more than politics.
That might be, you know, I'm learning a lot about the West Side politics. Obviously, everything, when you cross over the crest of the Cascades, all of Eastern Washington, except for one district, is Republican-led. And the single district that is not is in the downtown portion of Spokane. And it's interesting with that. But I think a lot of it is, you know, earlier this year, John, and we had an Eastern Washington legislative tour. It was about 6 weeks ago, and we had some West Side legislators that came over, and we actually took a boat tour from Clarkston down through the Lower Granite Dam to show them about the dams. And I think it's educating others throughout the state. I mean, I've been all over this entire state my entire life, from Nia Bay, everywhere, in every single corner. And I have a kind of an understanding of every single bit of this state, where I think we have some legislators that have never come up over the hill.
Yeah, I have a hard time getting them on the radio. Let's see. Boss Bill emailed, it's my understanding that license plates are made in state prisons. Are the offenders going to receive a wage increase?
Okay, so this is really interesting, too, because here in Walla Walla County, right outside of Walla Walla, obviously where I grew up, I drive by it every day when I go to Walla Walla, we have the Washington State Penitentiary. And Not sure if it's the largest penitentiary or not. You're right. License plates were made, are made in our state penitentiaries. But I just found out something interesting this last year that, and I can't remember if it's due, I think it was due to COVID and the lack of staffing, because when the governor mandated that state workers be vaccinated, we lost a tremendous amount of state workers. I had met with people from our Washington State Penitentiary who obviously left, and also Washington State Department of Transportation, so many things because of that. But then getting back to the license plates, I heard that they were getting made out of the state, and I heard it was Canada. Now, I cannot verify that. But I don't know if we are back in full swing making all of them or not. It's something that I will look into as I serve on that committee.
Well, you know, our area here in Grace Harbor, last I heard, we ran out of license plates. So they've been having to issue those window stickers. And
oh, wow.
While like King County and the bigger areas, they get them, we miss out. Are we able to stop the offshore wind project from stealing commercial fishing grounds, maybe lock them up in endless environmental studies?
I'm not familiar with that at all, so I really can't answer that question.
Yeah, probably on a different kind of committee. I know you guys are on different committees and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm not on energy, so I'm not really sure what's going on there.
All right. It seems like I get frustrated just because it doesn't seem like we're able to get anything done, you know, when you're outnumbered.
Yeah.
And then they blame you or, you know, blame our legislators. I asked them to do this and they didn't do it. Well, you know, could they?
Well, I think we have an opportunity, Johnny, this election cycle coming up. We have a really good opportunity. There's lots of races up. I think there's 18 Senate races up. We have 49 senators, 18 Democrats up for election in that I-5 corridor. And if you look at the past 2 years in the legislation passed, and legislation that wasn't passed could be the tax breaks I talked about, legislation that was passed, which could be the police reform, which we are still suffering the effects of that and haven't cleaned it up. There are some very frustrated people. And the thing is, this hits every single person, whatever party you're affiliated with. And at some point, you've got to look at the policies of the people that you're electing and the benefits of having them in office. And I think it's demonstrated pretty well these last 2 years that we're in a tough position because of the majority party and some of the policies that have been moved forward.
Well, it just seems like a tough battle up there in Ole for you. I wish you all the best and good luck. And, oh, my gosh, it's just a big mess. And it just boggles my mind that people keep voting the same and expect different results, better results, when things just keep getting worse.
Yes, no doubt. It was a great morning visiting with you, Johnny, and your listeners. And obviously, if anybody can get a hold of me, you can get through my office in Olympia.
All right. Thank you so much, Senator. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Johnny. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.